Good morning, dear brothers and sisters. It's great to be with you this morning in a different way. We had planned to be at the chapel with you, present, and with that eye contact and good conversations that we usually have. But, well, the world has changed in the past months, but we're doing okay. Uruguay is doing great. Very few cases of coronavirus ever since it began, so the Lord has taken care of us as a family, and we've been able to also help others going through tough moments, visiting and helping them out with food and clothing in different areas of poverty. So it has been very good for us, a great opportunity for ministry and to be able to share the gospel with people that haven't had an experience with God through Jesus Christ. And so I really encourage you to pray for us and for those people that we are reaching out with the gospel and helping. And also brothers and sisters that are going through tough moments, that you would also consider them in prayer on our behalf. There's a beautiful, text that we find, a passage there in Ephesians 5, verse 20. It contains a command, which may be one of the most difficult in all of the Bible to obey. It says, "Giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a beautiful command here, and it may be one of the most difficult ones to obey. At the same time, it may also bring the greatest blessing of all when it is obeyed. And I believe that there are different levels of thanksgiving when it comes to life. There are those people who constantly whine, complain, and they cannot find good in anything. You have those who have simple ingratitude. This means they do not complain, they are just not grateful. And you have those who are grateful for the obvious blessings, such as health, food, transportation, a home, family, and which is nice, and it's good to see this. But Paul here is referring to the highest level of gratitude when he thinks giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's the highest level and one of the precious achievements, highest goal that we should have as children of God. Seeds of discouragement will sprout almost anywhere except in the heart of a thankful person. We should remind ourselves of this. And on the other hand, we have Paul that expresses in Romans chapter 1, I believe it's verse 21, that unthankfulness is sinful and one of the marks of paganism. So based on this verse of Ephesians 5, verse 20, I would like to share with you three important lessons from this verse. The first of the lessons that I find here is the duration of gratitude, talking about frequency. And Paul says, giving thanks always. And the fact is that blessings never cease. Therefore, thanksgiving should never cease. We are to praise God always. Give thanks always to God. In Psalm 68, verse 19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation." And the prophet Jeremiah also expresses that through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. And because of his compassions fail not. Every morning they are new and his faithfulness is great. And that's why he says God's mercies are new every morning. And this is a fact that we experience every day. And if this is a fact, it takes us to consider also the practice that we should have. And Paul expresses in Philippians chapter 4, every prayer should be mixed with thanksgiving. He says in verse 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we need to pull some of the groans out of our prayers and shove in some hallelujahs. So we've considered the duration of gratitude. That's always, talking about frequency, always give thanks. And in second place, Paul expresses the dimension of gratitude. I think this means extension. We are to give thanks for all things, not just always, but also for all things. God rules all things, and we should give thanks for all the things that He rules over. And thankfulness comes along praise, with praise. It is impossible to praise if there is no gratitude in our soul. Paul expresses in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. So we are to have a song in our hearts no matter what happens. This is easier said than done and experienced. We should thank God for the basic and simple things in life. We have water. We can be thankful for the water. We are thankful for the dirty dishes. Why? Well, that means because we had food on our plates. And probably we were able to share that food with our family and friends. So we have to be thankful for even for the dirty dishes, even though we have dishwashers. And but there's another aspect which I believe is very important. We are also to be thankful during the sorrowful times in life. And I'd like to stop, insist with this aspect and ponder some of the teachings that we find in the Bible. When the Apostle Paul wrote this passage by divine inspiration, he was languishing in prison after having been unjustly accused of starting a riot. So we can be thankful even in sorrowful times because of the overruling hand and providence of God. He can take even sorrow and use it for good in our life. Sorrowful moments, trials, problems, they may correct us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. The psalmist, when he was writing Psalm 119 in verse 667, he said, I used to wander off until you disciplined me, but now I closely follow your word. So if suffering and pain correct us, we need to be thankful to God for it. He allows it. There may be a purpose behind those moments. So sorrowful moments, pain, trials, it may correct us. It may cause us to have a greater dependency upon God. Paul experienced this and he expressed it there in the second letter to the church in Corinth. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. So to keep me from being proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time He said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness, says Paul. so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, I am strong. So the Apostle Paul took pleasure for the thorn in his flesh that he had been given because of God's grace and because it was sufficient to him as he depended upon God. So we do not live by explanations, but by promises. So sorrowful moments, pain, trials, problems may correct us. It may cause us to have a greater dependency upon God, and it may confirm our testimony to other people. In Philippians chapter 1, the apostle in verse 12 says, when we endure sorrows and keep praising God, it shames the devil. Those are my words. What are his words? I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. So the Apostle Paul understood that his suffering had caused the gospel to go further, shaming the devil and all of the strategies that he has to keep the gospel from people and from people receiving the gospel in their heart. At that time, Paul, when he was writing these words to his brothers and sisters there, he already had suffered quite a bit. I'd say greatly. Shipwrecks, beatings, mocking, persecution, hunger, thirst, and more. God used all of Paul's suffering as a platform for Paul to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But also trials, problems, sorrowful moments will bring us to a deeper maturity and more Christ-likeness in our life. Psalm 119, a few verses ahead, 71, it says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Affliction can be a wonderful teacher. And God's priority for us is not primarily health and wealth, but to make us spiritually mature and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why James, Jesus' half-brother, said in chapter 1, verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And this is in the context of trial. And the word perfect in this scripture does not mean sinlessness, but maturity. The word patience means endurance and bearing up under suffering and problems. So patience is God's path to perfecting us. When we endure, we become perfected or mature. God allows us to go through trials so that we might learn endurance, and God is bringing us to maturity in Christ. Trials, suffering, sorrowful moments also will bring the excelling glory of God into our lives. Beloved, do not think it is strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. These are words of Peter in his first letter, chapter 4, verses 12 to 14. We continue reading and it says, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. As we get closer to the end time and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can expect increasing persecution. The more we give God thanks during persecution, the more the glory of God will rest upon us. When we are persecuted for the Lord's sake, we can offer that criticism and the persecution to the Lord as a praise offering. And we see this in Stephen, the glory of God, and his face was as a face of an angel. There in Acts 6, the friends of King Nebuchadnezzar, and blessed the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and he pleaded all of the nation to bow before their God. So we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God's purpose is to make us like our Lord Jesus Christ. He is working on our behalf during trials and sorrows, and he is working to mature us and make us like Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always, duration, for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, dimension. Always and all. You have probably heard the story of Corrie ten Boom and Betsy. It's a beautiful story that has inspired me in many great ways. February 28, 1944, after neighbor informed at the Gestapo of the ten Boom's clandestine activity, the entire ten Boom family was arrested and taken the following day to prison, 40 miles away approximately from their home. There they were separated, and Betsy and Corrie were separated from their 84-year-old father, who died 10 days later. And after 5 months, while being with hundreds of other female prisoners, they were railed into the camps and transferred to another notorious extermination woman's camp. And they were miraculously reunited. And we're talking about Betsy and Corrie. And the conditions there at the prisons were beyond human imagination. It is estimated that as many as 117,000 women died or were exterminated there between 1939 and 1944. And they were taken to prison, and they were in one of these prisons that had been built for 400 people, and there were 1,400 women who shared this place, and they shared 8 toilets. Imagine that. There were no individual beds or blankets, and women were forced to sleep side by side on long piers on soiled flea and infested straw. Many women starved to death at the facility. The daily morning food ration consisted of a stale piece of black bread and a cup of coffee. Prisoners who were healthy enough to work in the local factories also received a lunch consisting of a small boiled potato and a bowl of soup. The night fare was a turnip or vegetable soup. Since Betsy had been able to smuggle her Bible into the camp, each night she and Corrie read from the precious book while other women, a woman crowded around them to pray and listen. And within a short time, 2 services were required to accommodate the woman who pressed in to hear daily encouragement. What an incredible story. You probably have read it. And from Thessalonians, Betsy, chapter 5, read one day and read it to the group. Rejoice always. Give thanks in all circumstances. And it was apparent from Corrie's stare that she was wondering what there was to give thanks for in that God-forsaken place. Betsy reminded her to be thankful they were together and to be thankful for their Bible. And Betsy hesitated, and we give thanks for these swarms of fleas that infest the straw. And the flea infestation was so severe, the prison guards refused to enter the building. Given Betsy and Corrie the opportunity to conduct their secret Bible studies each night, a bit indignant, Corrie kind of and hesitated and said, Betsy, there's no way that even God can make you grateful for fleas. But they stood there, and Betsy gave God thanks for the fleas. And weakened by the deplorable conditions, Betsy died on December 16th, 1944. Before she died, she admonished Corey, we must tell them that what we learned here, Corey, when we get out of this place. After the war, we must travel the world, telling them how good God is. They will listen, Corey, because we have been there. And 10 days after Betsy died, and Corey, because of a clerical mistake, was released from prison. And one of the words that Corey expressed after she was out of prison and traveling around the world, talking about trials and problems and sorrowful moments, she expressed it this way. When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. Every experience God gives us, every person He puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for a future that only He can see. Rejoice always. Give thanks in all circumstances. Incredible words. Duration of gratitude, dimension of gratitude, and finally, something that we are familiar with, but it's good that we enjoy it daily, the dynamics of gratitude. Paul says, you always give thanks, and for all give thanks, and you do it unto the Father. Give thanks unto the Father. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow of turning. God, our Father, is good, and He daily loads us with benefits. This is not to say that we are to give thanks for the bad things that happen in life. There are some things in life that are bad, in fact, sinful. But God is good. Where God does not rule, He overrules. God takes all things and works them together for good to those who love Him. And this dynamic of gratitude is expressed unto the Father in the name through the Son, through the Lord Jesus Christ. The phrase in the name literally means through the name. Jesus Christ is the dynamics of our prayer. It is through Jesus Christ that we give thanks. We cannot truly give thanks to God in a biblical manner unless we do it through Jesus. He is the power of thankfulness. His name stands for authority. So if you're saved today, then you can say with certainty, as Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. Do you know Jesus personally? If not, you can ask Him today to come into your life. Call upon Jesus today. Repent. Turn from your sins and turn to Jesus. Ask Him to forgive you for your sins and acknowledge Him as Lord of your life. Gratitude. What a beautiful attitude. Duration, dimension, dynamics of gratitude. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Duration, dimension, dynamics of gratitude impacts the lives of others. For over 30 years after the war, Corrie ten Boom traveled the world telling the story of their prison experience and about the goodness of God. Gratitude takes our eyes away from ourselves and it focuses them on the Lord and on the people that the Lord allows us to cross paths with. Corrie's book, The Hiding Place and Tramp for the Lord, it became international bestsellers. You know all about that. It is estimated that the Ten Boom family saved 800 Jews from death in Holland. Corrie died on her 90th birthday in April 15th, 1982. There is a traditional Jewish a belief that only very special people have the honor of dying on the day that they were born. And that's what effectively happened to Corey. So there are beautiful examples in Paul, in his teaching to the church there in Ephesus, given thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May you be encouraged and also challenged to live a life of gratitude. That attitude in your life would be gratitude, because this just gives a beautiful perfume that touches the lives of other people. People won't understand how you can be grateful for those things that go wrong in your life. And many of you may be going through tough moments because of coronavirus. Many of you may have lost jobs, or you may have family or friends or neighbors that have gone through moments like that. And well, what a beautiful spirit to build on, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord bless you and continue to encourage you.